weeks ago called 41 Will Come. And as you know from a study we did on numbers, I think it was last year, when we looked at the number 40, the number 40 in scripture designates a time of testing. And a number that doesn't really get looked at is number 41. We go through those times of testing, but even in those difficulties of our lives, we need to remember that 41 comes after 40, that's next. So there is a purpose in our testing. There is a reason for the difficulties we go through, but we have to understand as well, there's also an end point. And sometimes it doesn't feel like there is. Sometimes it doesn't feel like 41 will ever come. Sometimes it doesn't ever feel like we get to that light at the end of the tunnel. The tunnel just seems to get longer and longer and longer. The valley seems to get wider and wider and wider. The mountaintop seems to be further and further away in the distance, and we can never seem to get beyond our times of trial and testing. But church, can I say this to you? 41 will come. Every time we see somebody going through a time of trouble, last time, the first time we looked at Noah, and the fact for those 40 days that it rained upon the earth with a flood, he'd never built a boat. We talked about that, how he had to fully put his trust in the Lord, but he could rely upon God's presence in the trial because God was in the ark with him. Now in Acts chapter 7, we're going to look at Moses. And you might think that's a bit unusual to find Moses in the book of Acts. But Stephen, as he preaches to the Sanhedrin, throws on some light for us upon some of the things that Moses did. And Stephen actually tells us as he's there before the high priest and the men gathered around there, he actually tells us that Moses had three periods of 40 in his life. Now, there are other times of 40s in Moses' life when he went up to Mount Sinai, the twice he was there for 40 days and 40 nights. But there's three periods of 40 years in Moses' life. And in Acts chapter 7, verse 23, this is where we get that information from. Well, let's go back to verse 19. It says, "The same dealt subtly with our kindred, and evil entered, entreated our father, so that they cast out their young children, to the end they might not live. In which time Moses was born, and was exceeding fair, and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up, and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him, and avenged him that was oppressed, and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, Sirs, ye brethren, why do ye wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, Who made thee a ruler and judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat 2 sons. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight, and as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the Lord of thy fathers, the Lord God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then said the Lord to him, Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I have seen the affliction of my people which is in Egypt, and have heard their groaning, and am come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee into Egypt. This Moses whom they refused, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out after that he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt, in the Red Sea, and in the wilderness 40 years. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this time together tonight, for this opportunity to come around your word. Lord, we pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight. We pray that you would help us to recognize your peace in these times of difficulties, that you would help us to recognize your presence in these times of difficulties, that you would even help us to recognize your purpose for us in these times of difficulties. And Lord, we just pray that you would help us to have the patience needed as we go through the times of trials and difficulties. And sometimes, Lord, we try and force your hand to make the time go quicker, to take the issues and the problems away. But Father, all we really need is not even to understand why we go through these difficulties, but just to know your peace and presence in our lives. And Father, help us to rely upon you, to lean upon you, to trust you with all our hearts and not to lean on our own understanding. So, Father, we pray that you would just help us tonight, Lord, as we come around your word. These periods of 40 years in Moses' life seemed so long, but, Father, how interesting that at the end of that 40 years, 41 did indeed come, that there was a time of reflection, that there was a time where you spoke to Moses, that there was a time where you blessed Moses, there was a time when you used him in such an incredible way. And Father, we pray that you would help us to recognize those times in our lives where we feel like we have no purpose, where we feel like there is no point, as it were. And Father, we pray that you would just help us to recognize that you can use us in every single situation we face in life to bring glory and honor and praise unto thee. Father, we just pray now that you'd speak to our hearts tonight, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. So I just want to look at these three 40-year periods in Moses' life. With the first 40 years, we see Moses in Egypt, and we effectively see Moses looking forward. The second 40-year period, we see Moses in Midian, and we effectively see him looking within. The last 40-year period, we see Moses in the wilderness, and we see him looking up. And the first 40 years, in verse 23, Stephen says, when he was full 40 years, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel, and seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian, for he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. The Hebrews in Egypt were blind to the redemptive purposes of God in the birth and background of Moses. We looked a couple of weeks ago at Jochebed, and where she placed Moses into the ark, and you know, there was a purpose in that. God divinely rescued Moses and kept him safe for the redemptive purpose of bringing Israel out of Egypt. And maybe people were envious of him. You know, this was a Hebrew was brought up in Pharaoh's household. So he sat at Pharaoh's table, as it were. He was learned in all the wisdom and ways of the Egyptians. You know, he would have dressed differently. He wasn't required to perform the tasks that his brethren were performing. And maybe people were envious of him. They understood not. How incredible that Moses obviously had some understanding of what God's plan was for his life, because Moses had obviously been looking forward to the day that he would finally be able to set his people free. And maybe he thought, this was it. This is the moment where I can shine. This is the moment I've been waiting for. This is the moment I've been waiting for God to say, go. You know, oftentimes we misread situations in our own lives extremely quickly. I mean, how many of you have walked into a situation and have said the wrong thing because you've completely misread it? I'm basically talking to men when it comes to our relationship with women. When a woman says, when you say to her, what's the matter? And she says, nothing. Men, that doesn't mean nothing's the matter. When you say, are you okay, love? I'm fine. I'm fine doesn't mean that everything is okay. But how many times do we misread those signs? Are you all right, love? I'm fine. Oh, great. She's fine. Nothing else needs to be done. No. That's not what happens. When she says I'm fine, it means something's extremely wrong, but I'm not going to tell you what's wrong. You've got to guess what's wrong. And that's not fair. How are we expected to know what fine means? If you say to a man, are you all right? Yeah, I'm okay. Job done. He's okay. It doesn't mean that there's some underlying problem that I'm okay, but I'm not going to tell you that I'm not okay because I want you to guess what's wrong with me. But that's how a woman operates.
And men, we've walked into so many situations in our lives where we've misread things. And we've got ourselves into trouble. But how many times do we do that from a spiritual point of view? You know, the amount of times that I've heard people say, it must be God's will because everything has lined up. Everything's gone smoothly. Well, what does the Bible say? Well, I haven't consulted the Bible yet, but all of these situations are just laid out in front of me, so therefore it has to be God's will. How many times have we misread that situation spiritually? Moses had been looking forward. This was the whole purpose of his life, the whole purpose of his being rescued in those bulrushes, the whole purpose of him going into that ark and being saved from death and being raised in Pharaoh's house. The whole purpose of that was for him to lead his people out of Egypt into freedom. And he'd been looking forward to that moment. Can you imagine for those 40 years, Moses was just eager. Maybe he sat at Pharaoh's table thinking, I don't belong here. I don't want to be here. I want to be with my people. I want to get out of this pagan situation. I want to get out of this idolatrous household. I want to be able to go and worship God and worship the God of my fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And for those 40 years, Moses felt like that time would never come. Now, we might have said, well, Moses had it easy. But I don't think Moses did have it as easy as the children of Israel. Because his situation was different. His turmoil was different. His slavery was slightly different. But he was just as much a slave in Egypt as the rest of his people were. It says it came into his heart to visit his brethren. For 40 years he'd felt out of place. For 40 years he felt like he didn't belong. For 40 years he maybe felt guilty for dining at Pharaoh's table. For 40 years he'd questioned his purpose. Why? But 41 was coming. This test of being stuck in Egypt was finally going to come to an end. It wasn't just curiosity that took Moses from the palace to Goshen. It was kinship. He wanted to be identified with his people. He wanted to set them free. So he struck a blow against the oppressor. How incredible when we look at what Moses did and you compare that to what the Lord Jesus Christ did. And it was the same thing. The Lord Jesus Christ in the fullness of time identified himself with Adam's ruined race in the waters of Jordan and then into the wilderness to strike a death blow to Satan. And after the Lord's temptation, we see his incredible ministry. He identified himself with fallen man. The next day, Moses showed himself unto them in verse 26, as they strove and would have set them at one again, saying, Sirs, ye brethren, why do ye wrong one to another? Moses wanted them to know that God had raised him up to be their kinsman redeemer, as it were. But he wanted to bring peace. Moses was grieved. He sought to bring about reconciliation, but he was viewed as just merely being a meddler. Mind your own business. Who do you think you are? When the Lord Jesus Christ came, that's basically what people said to him. He was meddling. Who do you think you are? Jesus came preaching peace, but the message fell on deaf ears. Verse 27, but he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, Who made thee a ruler and judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? He had no desire for Moses' ministry of reconciliation. And he rejects Moses. You know, the interesting thing about this, you say, well, what are you trying to get at? You've said that all of these 40 years Moses went through these issues, 41 has come in, and there just seems to be yet another trial. Can I say that happens in life sometimes? How many of us have been through a trial and we thought, thank you, Lord, for getting me through this. And before you've even said amen, there's another one right on your doorstep. And you're like, what is going on? And then there's another 40 days, 40 years, another time period of testing. But we've got to take comfort to think 41 will come. 41 will come. You know, what if the Lord said to us, right, Moses, this is what I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you 120 years of basically hardship. Moses would have been like, no, I'm done. Sorry, forget it. You know, just take my brother and I'll just stay where I am. Thank you very much. But it was like, Moses, I'll get you through this 40 years. And then he gets the victory. And then I'll get you through this 40 years. And then he gets the victory. And then I'll get you through this 40 years. And then he really gets an incredible victory. Sometimes we just need to take each trial and every day as it comes, rather than trying to figure out how we're going to get through this. Just hold on to the fact that 41 will come, that one day these trials will be over. Moses, just like Christ, Moses came unto his own, if you like, here, and his own received him not. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ did. Christ came unto his own, and his own received him not. Moses was misunderstood. They thought, who are you stooping down from the glories of your palace and meddling in our affairs? And that's exactly the same. They thought that he was just taking advantage of his position, that they were just that he was just making them feel even more wretched and miserable than they were. Who are you to judge? They resented him, maybe even jealous of him. Pilate, interestingly enough, said that about the Sanhedrin. Pilate knew that for envy they delivered him, Matthew 27:18. It's incredible when you read Stephen's sermon here how he kind of interlinks those two together. Moses for 40 years had been the slave of a different kind, looking forward to the time where he could finally stand up and say, this is my purpose, this is what I was saved for, this is what I meant to do. And when that moment comes, does he mess it up? Does he take matters into his own hands and forces God's hand because God hasn't yet taught him what it is that he's going to be doing? And we enter into the second 40-year period of Moses' life. And the second 40 years he spends in Midian, looking within. It says in verse 29, then fled Moses at this saying and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons. And when 40 years would expire, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. The Israelites had rejected Moses, so God leaves them to their oppressors. And it's not that he's abandoned them forever, but now Moses goes through another time of testing. This time in Midian, in Exodus chapter 3, refers to it as the backside of the desert. Moses learned a different type of lesson. His heart was with his people, but now he's not in the high palaces. He's not a prince of Pharaoh. He's a humble shepherd. Moses learns a different type of lesson. He's in a different land. He's married a Gentile bride. He's entered into a new joy as sons were born to him. Israel may have rejected him, but now he's found comfort in the heart of a Gentile family. And you can't help but miss the parallel between Moses and the Lord. He came unto his own and his own received him not. We understand that as the church, we are a Gentile bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. In heaven is one day where we'll spend an eternity with our bridegroom. Right, but I wonder, for these 40 years, what went through Moses' mind? Have you ever noticed, and maybe you've noticed more than ever now in these past, I forget how long it's been now, since March. March, April, May, June. 9 months. You found yourself just having too much time on your hand to think about things. Don't you think about the craziest things? Maybe you're not able to sleep. Maybe there's just too much time on our hands and your mind just starts racing. And we go through a whole host of scenarios. We go through a whole host of situations. We go through a whole host of problems. And our mind just gets more and more worked up. And that's not something we just do now in having this time to think about all of these things. But I think that's something we do most of the time. Did I say the right thing? Did I say enough? Is this something I could have done differently? How could I have handled that situation slightly differently? If we're in a situation that the Lord has put us in, what have I done to be here? Is there anything I've done wrong? Is there a sin I haven't confessed? Is there a reason that I'm facing this? Is it something I could have done differently before I got into this situation? Where was I when I got into this situation? And our mind just runs away with us. And I wonder if that was Moses' situation. I wondered if for those 40 years, Moses replayed his time in Egypt over and over and over again. Did I misunderstand the call of God? Has God really called me to lead his people out of Egypt? Has God really called me to be some kind of a redeemer to Egypt? Has God really put this call in upon my life? What did I miss? Where did I go wrong? Did I misread the signs? Did I misread God's voice? Did I mishear what he said? Was it something that I didn't pray about long enough? What if I had not gone down that day? What if I had not struck that Egyptian? What if I had not done that? What if? How many times have we ever said that in our lives? What if I had just turned up earlier? What if I had been a little bit late? You ever been in a traffic jam and you're like, oh, I can't believe I'm stuck in this traffic. I've got to get somewhere. And then a little bit further on down the road, there's an accident. And then you remember, actually, I was running late that day. Actually, I was really frustrated because I'd got myself in the car and then I had to go back in the house and, you know, I'd forgotten this. And if I had just been on the time that I was meant to be on, maybe I would have been in that accident. How many times have we gone through what ifs in our mind? If only I had said that. If only I had done that. If only I had made a different choice. If only I had done something slightly differently. And maybe Moses did that. Sam, my niece's husband, says this time and time again when you're talking to him. Would have, should have, could have, but didn't. You know, we can all do that. And we can absolutely drive ourselves crazy doing that. Why didn't I say that? Why didn't I go there? Why didn't I? But it'll never change anything. And Moses for 40 years could have beaten himself up. Moses for 40 years could have said, what if I didn't go there? What if I didn't do that? If only I hadn't. And he'd have just gone over the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. And it doesn't matter how many times it goes around in our mind. It doesn't fix it. But it robs us of our joy. It robs us of God's peace. Satan's laughing at us. Because one of his main jobs is to rob us of our joy. He's a joy stealer. He can't get our hearts, so he goes after our heads. But then we're kind of helping him with the ammunition. Because we're doing his job for him. And it's easier said than done. Believe me. Pastor Ed used to say, if I'm pointing a finger out there, there's three pointing back. The amount of times that I've gone over stuff in my head over and over and over again. But we can't change anything. We can't fix what's gone. We can't change what's gone. All we can affect is what we do with right now. For 40 years, he may have struggled with his past. Maybe forgot everything now and again. You know, there's been snippets through this whole pandemic where you think, this feels normal. And then you drive past Tesco's and you think, that looks like something I used to watch on the news during the collapse of the Soviet Union. Breadlines. How incredible now that you watch a dystopian film and think, oh yeah, that's what we're doing now. Whereas you used to watch a dystopian type of futuristic film and think, oh, you imagine what it would be like living in a time like that? And sometimes we forget. Sometimes you think, oh, this feels quite normal. And maybe there were moments in Moses' 40 years as he was tending the sheep, as he was raising his family, that he just forgot. And he was able to crack on with his life. And then there'd be something that would remind him and bring his thoughts back. And he would just continually look within. If only 40 years of beating himself up. But 41 was on the way. 41 was coming. And God was going to speak to him in such an incredible way. Yeah, ever said, oh, you know, what would God have to do today to get somebody's attention? And I understand that we don't need anything miraculous in that way because we've got something miraculous right in our hands. You know, God gets our attention every single day. I am absolutely amazed and blown away when people send me a text, and I'm always encouraged when somebody texts me on a Sunday with a Bible verse, and you read and you think, how did they know? Because that's how incredible God's word is. God gets our attention. You know, when Moses didn't have a Bible, God hadn't used him to write it yet, so Moses didn't have a Bible. But God needed to get his attention because 40 was over and 41 was coming. So he appears to him in a burning bush. And when the 40 years would expire, there'd appear to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight. And as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Moses had his attention drawn. And God has a way of getting our attention. Sometimes when we're in those times of difficulty, sometimes when we're in those times of trial and trouble, sometimes when we're going through those tribulation periods in our lives, sometimes when we're headed through the valley and we feel like there's no way out, sometimes God just suddenly steps in with a word from his scripture. Sometimes God steps in as he uses somebody else to reach out and bless us. Sometimes God steps in and just reminds us, guess what? 40 is over. The times of trials and testings are over, and 41 is here. How incredible it is that sometimes when we least expect it, God just steps on the scene and says, child, it's okay. Child, I've got you. Child, everything will be all right. That just blows me away. Because we don't deserve God to step in and on our behalf. Perhaps Moses thought that this 40 would never be over. That this time of regret and this time of trial and this time of testing and this time of just beating himself up every single day would never come to an end. And then suddenly God says, Moses, Moses, I love it when the Lord calls somebody twice by name. Moses. He calls to him from out of the burning bush. And says, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Moses was just a sinful man. The Lord said to him, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. How incredible that God was with Moses. He was with him in Egypt. Maybe Moses didn't recognize how close he was to the Lord. He was with him in Midian. But maybe Moses didn't recognize the presence of the Lord. But God gets his attention. He says, Moses, I'm with you. We might forget sometimes that God is with us. We might forget sometimes that God has any kind of purpose for us in our times of difficulty. Sometimes in the quiet moments of our devotional time in the morning or the evening or whenever it is we open up the word, sometimes like a flaming bush, the word of God leaps from the page. Not just comforting our hearts, but reminding us that God is with us. It was not merely God's presence that Moses finally understood. God, through that burning bush, would reveal to Moses what his purpose was. Sometimes we just don't feel like we've got purpose. You know, we'd be happy. And I'm sure we could all say, do you know what? If I knew at the end of this trial, if I knew at the beginning of this trial what I knew at the end of the trial, I would have faced it a lot easier. Because I knew that at the end of it, I would have learned this lesson and this lesson. I would have seen God moving this way and this way. And then it would have been happy days. I'd have danced all the way through the trial. But that doesn't happen. We go into that valley and we don't always see the end of it. We don't always see the purpose in it. And can I say this? There may be some trials that we face in this life that we will never understand the purpose of until we get to glory. And the purpose might not be for us. Purpose might be for somebody else. The purpose might be that somebody seeing you going through the trial with a joy on your face that they simply cannot comprehend or understand. And that'll cause them to question who was with you through that difficulty to cause you to have that trial with such a smile on your face. The trial might not be for us, but there's always a purpose in that. And it'll always speak to somebody. God is about to use Moses in such an incredible way. It's interesting that when you read Exodus chapter 3 and Exodus chapter 4, Moses doesn't want to be used. The first time round, at the end of that 40 days, Moses was like, right, come on, you know, let's have it. I'm going to redeem Israel here. I'm going to go in and I'm going to take the Egyptians on, as it were, and I'm going to redeem my oppressed people. And here we go. And it was all him. Then when God says to him, right, Moses, you are going to go back to Egypt and you are going to lead my people up. He's like, oh no, Lord, I can't. Who am I that I should do this? What will I say? I can't speak. It's interesting that he says, I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. But yet Stephen tells us that he was learned in all the wisdom of Egypt, that he was full of knowledge. Now, is Moses trying to pass the buck, or is Moses just simply being humble to say, well, look, I am not worthy to do this. I'm not going to be able to speak. I wouldn't know what to say. Every excuse that Moses offered, God had an answer. Who am I? It doesn't matter who you are. It matters who I am. What will I say? I'll tell you what to say. Who shall I say sent me? I am that I am. The great I am has sent you. But I don't know. I'll just send somebody else. Look, I've even prepared Aaron, your brother. If you look on a map where Midian is and where Sinai is and Mount Horeb is, and you look at where Goshen is, it's quite a distance. Now, at what point? Let's have a look at this. Turn to Exodus chapter 4. So, in the last excuse that Moses offers, in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 13, he says, oh Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. He's basically saying, send somebody else. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well, and also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart, and thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of a god, and thou shalt take his rod in thy hand with us, so thou shalt do signs. So God said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know he can speak. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. When did Aaron leave? When did Aaron leave Egypt and Goshen to travel all of the way through the wilderness, through the Sinai Peninsula, across the two waterways there and down to Mount Horeb, to the land of Midian. How many days' journey is that? God obviously knew what was going to happen when Moses offered this excuse. Because I don't know, I'm going to ask quickly, how many days' journey, Brother Andrew, from Goshen to Horeb? Okay. So about a 40-day journey, there or thereabouts. So God knew 40 days previously what Moses was going to say when he said, I can't speak, send somebody else. And God had already sent Aaron from Egypt to meet Moses at the right time. Can I say this? 41 will come. 41 will come. Whatever you are facing right now, your time of testing, your time of difficulty, your time of trial, 41 will come. And can I say this? God knew what the end would be before you even went into the trial. God has already got it worked out. There's a purpose. There's a purpose. Moses spent 40 years in Egypt looking forward. Moses spent, I'm thinking he was a somebody. Moses spent 40 years in Midian looking within and recognizing that he was a nobody. And then finally, he spent 40 years in the wilderness looking up, recognizing what God could do with a nobody. In verse 36, it says, he brought them out after that he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. Israel is redeemed by power, is set free from centuries of discrimination and bondage. Egypt was judged and Israel was set apart by God to begin a new life under the personal direction of Moses. How incredible would it have been if this was the end of the story and everything went swimmingly and it was a great hurrah, victory for Moses, victory for the children of Israel. But that's when Moses' next set of problems start. Because for 40 years, there is a grumbling and a moaning. For 40 years, Moses' authority was questioned. For 40 years, God's ways were questioned. For 40 years, Moses struggled in the wilderness. We've said it before from this pulpit. I've heard other preachers say it. It was easier to get Israel out of Egypt than it was to get Egypt out of Israel. For 40 years, the scripture tells us that they ate angel food. That's basically what manna was. It was the food of angels. And yet, what did they say? Oh, we're desperate for an onion. Can I say this to you my whole life? I have never been desperate for an onion or garlic. Now, I don't mind either of those. I'm happy with a bit of onion in a stir fry and, you know, can't beat a cheese and onion sandwich. Happy days. I like garlic. You know, I like a chicken Kiev as much as the next man, except for our vegetables. But I like Kiev and it's nice. I like garlic. But I've never craved those two items on their own. I've never thought, oh, do you know what? There's an incredible banquet in front of me, but I'd love to replace all of that with a bit of onion and garlic. That's effectively what the children of Israel had. They had heaven's food in front of them. But what they wanted to do was to go back to what they had in Egypt. I wonder how many years, how many times in those 40 years of wandering did Moses think, I'd like to go back to the desert as well. Go back to attending sheep. Sheep were as dull as they are. Sheep were a lot easier than this crowd. But Moses has learned a few valuable lessons in his time periods of testing. He's no longer looking at his own strength. He's no longer trying to do things his way. Now he's looking upward. For 40 years, he was battered because of the unbelief of the people. For 40 years, he struggled as his authority was questioned, even oftentimes by his own family members. But 41 would come. You might say, well, we know the end of the story, and the 41 is not that fair because Moses struck the rock the second time. He wasn't allowed to go into the promised land. So where is the hope in the 41 that you're talking about? Well, let's have a little look. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 34. As you know, Moses was meant to speak to the rock to bring the water out, but Moses gets angry with the people and strikes the rock, and God says, because you've done this, you will not enter into the promised land. And you might think, well, that's not fair. Why would God do that? After all that Moses has been through, then surely he should have been the first one to go into the promised land. Deuteronomy 34 verse 1 says, and Moses went up from the plains of Moab under the mountain of Nebo to the top of Pisgah, and is over there, that is over against Jericho, and the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan. After those 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, of being ridiculed by the people, of being undermined by the people, Moses saw God move in such incredible ways. And God says to Moses, come up to this mountain. Let me show you this land. And any time you see from Beersheba to Dan, it's talking about the whole stretch of land. And God says to Moses, this is the land. And he gets a glimpse of what's of the inheritance that the children of Israel are about to see. And the Lord did reward Moses for the past 40 years of difficulties and trying situations. He gave him a personal tour of the land that his people were about to inherit. That is the culmination of all that Moses has done. Moses tried to redeem the people in his own way at the end of that first 40 years. And that wasn't right. And then Moses does things God's way and leads the children of Israel out of Egypt through the wilderness. And this second generation now, after their unbelief and following the 10 spies rather than the two, this second generation is on the brink of entering into the promised land. But then look at verse 5. It says, so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord, and he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day. Can I ask this question? Who buried Moses? Who buried Moses? Moses went up from the plains of Moab to the mountain of Nebo, and he was there with the Lord. And then it says in verse 5, Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord, and he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day. 41 has come in. How incredible that the Lord did indeed reward Moses. Jude throws a little bit more light on the situation when he says, Michael, the archangel who contended with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. It's safe to say that the Lord was with Moses right the way throughout his life. He was with him when he was saved from certain death in the Nile. He was with him at the end of the first 40-year period. He was with him at the end of the second 40-year period. And it's safe to say that he was with him right to the very end. 41 will come. And the Lord will never forsake us. The Lord will never turn around and say, child, I wash my hands of you, I'm done. You're just a waste of time. I can't cope with you anymore. I can't cope with your issues. I can't cope with your problems. I can't cope with your whining. I can't cope with your messiness. I can't cope with your wishy-washy Christianity. I'm done with you. That's not how the Lord works. The Lord will never, ever, ever forsake us. Ever. And he's with us always, even unto the end of the world. How incredible to know that even at our most desperate times, the Lord is there in our midst. There was a purpose in this time of difficulty for Moses. God did have a plan for Moses' life. Three periods of testing. 3 40-year periods of testing. But 41 will come. Whatever it is that you are facing right now, can I say this to you? One day it will be over. Whatever difficulty you are going through right now, one day it'll come to an end. If you were going through a 40-day period, a 40-year period, a 40 period of testing, 41 will come. We might not understand the purpose in it, but God does have a purpose for our times of difficulty. And sometimes it's just to reveal that we can't do this on our own, but we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. Let's pray. Father, thank you again, Lord, for this time together today, for this opportunity to come around your word. Father, I just pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight, Lord, that you would help us to apply this word to our hearts and to our lives. And Lord, whatever it is that people are facing right now, whatever difficulties that they are going through, would you help us to recognize that 41 will come, that these times of testing, these times of trials, these times of hurt and pain will one day be over. Father, for some, we recognize the fact that that'll be over when you call us home to glory. Father, we recognize for others, it'll just simply be a time when we come through this valley, when we come through this period of difficulty. But Father, I pray that whatever the situation it is, that you would help us to recognize your presence in that situation. That you would help us to understand not just your purpose for us, but our purpose in these times of difficulties. That we might bring the maximum glory, honor, and praise unto your most precious and holy name. So Father, would you just help us tonight? Would you help us to recognize your presence in these times of difficulties that we all face? And we'll be mindful to give you the glory for it. We love you and we praise you. And we pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right, John is going to come and sing our last hymn for us tonight. And I'm going to ask John then if he'd close us in a word of prayer once he's finished. Amen. A nice Christmas carol.